Welcome to episode 65 of Communicast, a communication skills podcast. I'm Scott D'Amico, president of Communispawn, a global communication skills training organization. Be clear, concise, charismatic, and curious. Fantastic advice from my guest, Sony Das. Sony is the vice president of learning and organizational development at Lionsgate. In this episode, we talk about humility, empowering people, and getting your key message above the fold. I hope you enjoy. Sony, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Scott. I'm so happy to be here.
Absolutely. Really looking forward to our conversation. Before we jump too much into it, why don't you maybe take a second, just tell the listeners a little bit about you, your journey, and the exciting work that you're doing today.
Hi, everyone who's listening in today. My name is Sony Das, she, her pronouns. I'm the Executive Director of Learning and Organizational Development at Lionsgate Entertainment. I grew up in the suburbs of Massachusetts thinking I'd go to med school because I liked some of the subjects. Many of my cousins went on to be doctors, and I had friends who were interested in becoming doctors. Yeah. And then also it would fulfill my parents' expectations. So I thought, hey, win, win, win. Why not? Let's do this. But in college, as I continued to take those courses, I found, well, my pre-health concentration is good, but I really do like my psych major more. But I still felt this pressure to pursue this pre-health concentration. So I switched gears a bit, thought I'd go to dental school. I took the exams, applied. Thankfully, though, I volunteered at a few dental clinics. And before making my final decision, it dawned on me that I could not stare into people's mouths all day. Much respect to all the dentists out there who do this as their profession. Thank you. But thankfully, I found that that was not the fit for me. What I did find, though, is that I was observing a lot of the interpersonal dynamics in the workplace, how colleagues spoke to each other about the flow of work, how the dentist would speak to their patient and the way they would do that to make the patient feel comfortable. Then I decided, why don't I take a couple years off after college, lean into that psych degree. So I worked at Mass General Hospital in a clinical psych lab, focused on that. But again, I found myself gravitating towards how people behaved, how they interacted with one another, how employees communicated through conflict. And then someone told me, thankfully, that there's a whole profession to this, and it's called organizational development. So that's when I went back to school to get my master's in social organizational psychology at Columbia. And I'm so glad I did this. It allowed me to pivot my career and help people and organizations reach higher, whether it be with their performance or with their engagement. So as for what I'm working on today, a lot of cool things on my plate, but I'd say the biggest thing right now is the latest round of management training we're doing. We've worked with multiple stakeholders within HR, DEI, and various business leaders to craft a bespoke training course. And the training covers real life situations that people leaders may face and how they can give clear performance feedback to support their employees' behavior change.
That is fantastic. It sounds like, one, an exciting program that you're working on and really important, especially around that performance feedback, because that's something that I think a lot of employees crave, and it's a big gap for a lot of leaders. Either they just don't do it, or when they do it, they're not great at doing it. It's very vague, very general, kind of surface level. So being able to really effectively do that and engage your employees is critical. And I'm just so happy you were able to have that experience early on to volunteer at a dentist's office and know soon enough that, yeah, I can't do this. Like you said, I can't stare into people's mouths all day for 30 years.
Yeah.
Very similar to me when I started my career off as a high school teacher. I taught high school economics, and I vividly remember it was the second semester of my junior year was the very first time I had the opportunity to be in front of students in a classroom. And fortunately, I enjoyed it, but I remember thinking, gosh, what if I had been terrified? Or what if I just was like, nope, this is not for me? And then 3.5 years of school that were kind of, you know, somewhat wasted because I'd never had that exposure. So I think for anyone listening, that's just great advice. If you're thinking about a career trajectory, or maybe you're looking to make a change or a pivot, try to find ways to get involved in that potential industry to observe, to volunteer, whatever it is, to start saying, okay, yeah, this is going to be the right fit, or nope, this is not going to be for me.
Agreed. Yeah, it's so important to get that experience so that way you can see firsthand what people in that profession actually do. So then you can decide whether that's going to fill your cup or not.
And I think with you, especially with you working for an entertainment industry, I think a lot of folks probably take for granted that there's a whole business behind the entertainment and the product that comes out of, you know, the movie studios. They have HR, they have, you know, DEI initiatives and accounting and marketing. So this is a critical part to make sure that these companies are functioning properly. And throughout your experience, especially working in this organizational development space, getting lots of exposure to all levels and all divisions of the organization, I'm sure you come in contact with lots of people that are great communicators, maybe some people not so much. But from your perspective, when you hear that somebody is a really strong communicator or that they just have great communication skills, what's the image that comes into mind for you, Sony?
I think of a few different people, and I think what they're doing best is they're focusing on practicing these four C's. They're clear in their messaging, they're concise, they're charismatic, and they're curious. I would say the first three C's are really focused on delivery. Whether it's verbal or written, you want to be clear, concise, and charismatic as you communicate in that space. I think in order to be clear and concise, it's important to identify your audience and think through how they're going to receive your message. Then you can pare down your message to only the info that audience needs, and that helps you be more concise. And then as for charisma, I think it makes me think of this commercial back in the day with the actor Ben Stein, Clear Eyes, and his delivery was comically monotonous. He'd say something like, "Get clear eyes for dry eyes. It's amazing." And it's like he's saying the word amazing, but clearly does not show that he aligns his emotions with that. And I think in order to exude charisma, you want to do the opposite of what he did in that commercial. You want to fluctuate your volume, your pace, your inflection to really capture your audience's attention. And you want to match your emotion and your voice with the words you're saying. So your audience really feels that you believe in what the words are that you're saying.
I love that. The clear, concise, charismatic, curious. And as you mentioned, those first three focused in on the delivery aspect. And if you really think about it, if you miss one of them, it's going to have a big impact. So if you're clear and you're charismatic, but you go on forever, you're going to lose your audience. You can be clear and concise, but as you mentioned, if you're not charismatic, you're very droll and just monotonous, you're going to bore people. So it is important to think about the balance. And as you mentioned, matching your tone with your words. So when there's that disconnect between what I'm saying and how I'm saying it, it really does throw your audience off. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm a big believer in curiosity when it comes to communication. If you're curious, meaning you want to understand your audience, you want to understand how this can help them or why it's important to them, it will absolutely help you craft the best message. And to your point, tailor it to them so it can be concise. So you layer in those four C's, you really do get effective communication.
Yeah. And I think too, for that last one, it's a lot too about good listening skills. So a good communicator, you know, I think oftentimes when you think, oh, a great communicator, you think about presentations and formal settings, but you're communicating all the time. So I think about being curious, and it's really a lot about too asking open-ended questions when you're in conversation with others or playing back what you heard them say so you can show that you're really truly listening. And I think about just everyday instances where your roommate or your partner walks through the door and you ask them, "Hey, how was your day? How was work today?" And they respond with, "Good." So you don't want to leave it there. To be curious, it would be something you would want to ask something like, "Well, what was good about it?" This way you can connect more with that person. Or at work, in the workplace, your manager says, "Great job on that meeting you led." We talked about performance a little bit a second ago, but you could be curious and take that feedback a little further and ask for more by saying, "Thanks, what did you like most?" And then that way, you know what to do more of, or repeat at the next meeting. So I think that being curious from the listening lens is a great opportunity to practice good communication too.
Spot on. Because if you typically just leave it at that surface level, one, you're not going to get any information. And I think honestly, it's going to over time appear that you're asking and you may not really care. You're just going through the motions. So if I think of, you know, I have an 11-year-old and a 14-year-old and getting information out of them, hey, how was your day? Good. Right. If I just left it there, that's all I would ever get. Their day was good every single day, 180 school days out of the year. But as you said, following up, oh, well, what made it good? Or what was the best part of your day? Or what was the worst part? Or what is a day? What's a good day look like? What was the funniest thing that happened? All these different things. And then taking the time to actually listen and process and signal to them that you're listening, like playing it back, paraphrasing, repeating, or asking follow-up questions. So I always love it how you can take stuff from work and apply it to home. You can take stuff from home when it comes to communication skills and apply it into the work setting. You're always kind of learning and bringing it back both ways. And I always think about when it comes to this idea of curiosity and tying into creativity and innovation, if you think of kids and why kids are often thought to be very creative, they ask lots of questions, right? How many times I heard why when my kids were growing up? It's like, well, why? Well, why? It's because they want to know. They're super curious. They're forming their whole world view now, and they observe everything. Like, they pick up on little things. So if you question things and you observe things and you start talking with people, that's going to spur ideas, whether it's how to lead your team better or developing a new idea or a product at work. Practicing these skills does have a big impact.
Definitely.
So Sony, as you know, you're working within your organization, focusing on developing skills at all levels. What are some of the key communication skills that you're seeing today that are, I guess, either maybe mission critical to the business, or maybe there's a gap that you're really focused in on closing and developing for the employees at your company?
I think it's a little broader. I would say soft skills overall that are helpful for our, not just Lionsgate, but I think any company in corporate America in today's day and age. I think we're all in so many back-to-back meetings. We're also reading written communications quickly between meetings, maybe in meetings.
Never.
And then simultaneously fielding texts or IMs at, like, throughout the day. So there's a lot of communication coming at us and that we're sending out rapidly. So I think in this busy culture, it's important that we continue to hone our skills specifically around, I'd say, four areas. The first being EQ, emotional intelligence. I think, questions to consider for yourself are how are you managing your internal dialogue while others are talking? How are you considering your response to a more direct email before you actually send off a response right away? And then things like, when are you picking up the phone versus solely sticking with email or written communications, especially when something's not clear, or maybe we sent a poor response back rapidly in the moment, and maybe we need to do some damage control after the fact. So yeah, I think EQ is a big one. Another one would be building our cultural humility. Given a lot of what's happened over the last several years, I think questions there to consider for yourself are, how are you continuing to expose yourself to different cultures? How are you learning from the differences you discover? And also, how are you being courageous enough to reduce inequity when you have the power to do so? So I think that cultural humility piece is also key. And then the next two are a little bit focused on people leader skills, I would say. So more broadly, how are you empowering your people? How are you clarifying expectations and offering feedback, both good and bad, or positive and developmental for that matter? And then when you're in meetings and running meetings, how are you getting the right people in the room? How are you inviting others into the conversation to get opposing ideas and really get to that best solution? Like you were saying earlier, innovation comes from asking good questions and opening up the conversation. And then at the end of the meeting, how are you getting clear on the action items so that everyone is on the same page and we don't need to have another meeting after the meeting to review those things? So yeah, I'd say those four areas.
That's fantastic. Yes, the meeting after the meeting. And I came from an organization that was, we had a meeting about the meeting to prep for the meeting, and then the meeting, then the meeting after the meeting. But I think you nailed it that for the most part, people are super busy. Meetings, projects, deadlines, and then you layer on not only phone calls and emails, but text messages, Slack, social media notifications, personal and professional. There's so much coming at us. So I think one, being able to synthesize and work through all that information and prioritize is an important skill. Then I think on the sender side, understanding, is this an email or is this a phone call?
Yep.
Is this a meeting or is this an email? Or this 3-page dissertation I'm getting ready to fire off to 30 different people at 7 different levels in the company. Is this in the best format that people are going to be able to receive it? So I think thinking through and understanding what's the best channel for this communication to go through is a big thing that people need to work on. Not everything is a one size fits all. Everything's an email. Everything's a phone call. Everything's a video conference. And right. I do think over the past several years, a lot of people skewed to one direction of, okay, everything needs to be a video meeting now. Yeah, they have their purpose, but not everything needs to be that way. Because one, it's exhausting. It's just being on camera all day, every day in meetings is exhausting. Mm-hmm. And then I think somewhat to your point around the humility and just understanding everyone's situation. Not everyone wants to be on camera. Not everyone is fortunate enough to have a nice home office where they're okay with it being in the back, or they can't blur the background out. So I think being aware of all of those things is a big part to developing your communication skills and being able to grow within an organization. Sony, as you think about your career journey and the path that you've taken, what would you say if you had to narrow it down? This is kind of the key communication skill that has really helped me to be successful and get to the point where you are today.
I'd say it's a combination of things. Oftentimes, I'm trying to figure out what's the goal that I'm trying to achieve, whether it be a quick conversation I need to have, or I need to send off an email, I need to work on a broader project. If I'm clear on the end goal that I'm trying to achieve, then I'm going to be able to build around that and see it through. And I think that's what's helped me most. And then kind of related to that, I would say I'm one who picks up on the details pretty quickly. And so that's also helped me. And I think oftentimes more senior level leaders are very busy, and there are junior level folks. If they can keep track of all the different details, it really does make it easier for their leaders to tackle their workload. So I think as I've grown through the ranks, that's also helped me.
So if I'm hearing correctly, a part of this is, you know, managing up, really understanding, you know, what's important to your leader, and then how do I, in essence, give that to them? So is it, you know, being timely or organized or whatever it may be, just understanding, this is what I know about my leader. I've gotten to know them over time. I've paid attention to really what drives them, what motivates them, and really what they're looking for in their team, and just making sure that I'm giving that to them. And I'll say, for me, throughout my career, that's always one of the first things I try to figure out is, okay, what makes this person tick? And then how do I make sure that I'm always trying to point back to that or go back to that or provide that to them? So I think that's a key skill. So then the other thing that you mentioned was this idea of understanding what's my goal. And on a recent episode, one of the guests expertly pointed this out. He focuses on the brain and how the brain focuses and processes information and communications. And really what he shared is so many people just wing it when it comes to their communication. They don't really think about what is the ultimate goal of this slide deck. What's the goal of this email or this phone call? So if you go into it with, in essence, the end state in mind, it's going to help you, I think, structure your message more effectively. And to what we started off on, make sure that it's concise and clear so that you're getting it out there. So I think those are two fantastic skills.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I'm working on building an offsite deck for a team that wants to work on their team development and cohesion. And that's exactly the conversation that's how the conversation started with me and the team that's working together on building the content. What are we trying to help this team with? What's our end goal? Where do we want to see this team after the offsite in terms of how they're functioning with one another? So definitely, I think having that clear goal in mind makes it so much easier to line up all the different pieces.
Absolutely. Now, if you think back, Sony, throughout your career and your life in general, who has been somebody that perhaps influenced your communication style? Could have been a leader, friend, family member, mentor, whatever it is, someone that's influenced the style, and maybe what have you taken from them and made your own?
There have been multiple colleagues that I've been inspired by, family members, cousins who are very successful in their careers, who I've been able to look up to. I'm definitely going to speak to some of that, but I do actually want to share an anecdote from when I was a kid. I played soccer, and there was a moment there that I remember very vividly where the parents would carpool and friends' moms and stuff often would get together and be like, okay, you're going to take the kids on this day, or I'll take them on that day. And there was one instance where I assumed that this girl would, whose mom would take me home, but they weren't clear on that. And so the girl said to me, well, don't assume anything. That's just going to make an ass out of you and me. And I was just shocked in the moment because I hadn't heard that before. And I thought, wow, you know, this is important. I need to make sure I'm asking questions to make sure I've confirmed what the next steps are, confirm that we're all aligned on what's going to happen. And that's kind of one thing that's influenced how I show up at work and my communication style. But thinking way ahead to more current times, I would say I've had a few different leaders who've done different things that I've picked up on and kind of made part of my own style. I remember a former leader who, she always laughed in nearly every conversation, just a little, and it helped lighten the mood. She would crack a joke here and there or make light of something. And, you know, work, there's so much happening often, and people have stuff happening in their personal lives. So it's nice to lighten the mood if you can. So I try and add my own sense of humor where possible, where appropriate. So I think that's one thing. Another thing is another colleague of mine at Lionsgate, while others are waiting for the rest of the meeting attendees to show up, she is often looking down at her journal and jotting down key details when she has to speak. So she's noting down key points that she thinks will resonate with the audience for that meeting. And I think this always often adds that extra juice to her speaking points. And I've started doing this too between meetings to get myself, one, in the right mindset for the next meeting, because you're often switching gears so quickly. But then also, depending on the meeting, I might also be 2 minutes late because I'm trying to think through my points so I can add value to the conversation with other folks there. And then lastly, I'd say brevity is one that I'm still continuing to hone, but I do really appreciate observing other colleagues who've mastered this skill set. And one thing I've observed in what they do is they often share two, max three sentences before pausing to allow for some dialogue. So I think that's another thing I'm trying to implement as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, brevity, when done well, is really powerful. Some people are brief, but they don't get the point across. But when you can get your point across in two or three sentences, enough to the point where you can stop and open it up for questions, is a tremendous skill. And even for me, still continuing to work on that, making sure that, going back to what we talked about, being concise, being clear, if you focused on your audience, that's a great way to start working on that skill. But I love the story that you shared about when you were younger. If you think back, you know, something that happened to you when you were, you know, playing sports, for a lot of people could just been a throwaway experience, but just to have that and stick with it. And I agree, whenever you do assume, it typically doesn't end well. Yeah. And so being able to learn from that and, you know, ask questions, clarify things, follow up, so things don't fall through the cracks. Because while when you're a kid and you maybe you miss a ride home from soccer practice, not a big deal. But when you're working on a multi-million dollar project and a detail gets missed and it gets derailed, a little bit more serious. So no, that's fantastic.
Yeah, more weight in that.
Yes. Sony, as we're wrapping up here, I want to be respectful of your time. What advice would you have to the folks listening to this, whether they're fresh out of school, maybe they are going into the workforce for the first time, or mid-career, making a pivot? go on mm-hmm. hard left, something different. What advice would you have for them, really just around the importance of developing the skills that we talked about today?
Yeah, I think it's so important. It's such a big part of working in corporate America, I would say. I think really focus on building your relationships, getting to know your colleagues on a personal level, that type of stuff. It adds value when, especially when you're early in your career or if you're pivoting in your career. I think seeking feedback on how you're doing, whether that be from your people leader, from colleagues, whomever you're working with, and actually applying it is really great. And if you want to take it another step further, after you've applied it, go back to the person who gave you the feedback and tell them, hey, I took your feedback, I applied it, and this is how it worked out. Thank you so much for it. People really appreciate being appreciated. And then too, you know, I've been talking a lot about verbal communication and more of the interpersonal skills, but I think too, on the written communication side, we didn't talk much about it, but one tip my late dad gave me growing up was to consider what was above the fold. And not everyone will know what that means, but when you write a note or you send an email, think about what's within the initial view of your reader before they have to scroll or move the page in a way to see more. So that's where the most important tasks need to be, or action items, not mm-hmm. at the very end of your email. And this is especially so when emailing senior executives.
Yes.
And then I think lastly, people are more likely to want to work with the employee, like employee A, who has a positive attitude, has the soft skills we've discussed, and maybe only has 80% of the technical job skills. They want someone who's eager, willing to learn, versus employee B, who's more difficult to work with, maybe doesn't collaborate well with others, but they do have 100% of those technical skills for the job. It's more likely that employee A is going to be hired, especially mm-hmm. early in their career. So I would say definitely work on these different skills.
Fantastic advice. Yes, it's the concept that I hear a lot is called the brilliant jerk. Somebody mm-hmm. that is amazing at their job. They're very technical and tactical, but on the people side, they're like a bull in the china shop, and the collateral damage that they do more than offsets the good things that they're doing. So to your point, you might not be there 100% technically, but if you've had and invested in developing those soft skills, more often than not, people are going to recognize that and realize we can close that gap of the other 20% through training and experience. So spot on, develop those skills. And the thing that you said that really jumped out to me around the feedback mm-hmm. is a lot of times in communication, we talk about, leadership asking for feedback about maybe a new initiative or direction we should go, and that it's important to ask for it. It's important to act on it and close the loop. But yours was a slightly different take, was from an individual. A lot of people ask for feedback. They do. That's lots of people ask for it. That's great. A smaller percentage of people act on it. And then mm-hmm. I would say even a smaller percentage of people do that last thing that you said, was to go back to the person that gave you the advice or that you sought the advice from and tell them how it went. Say, hey, a while ago, I asked you a little bit about X, Y, and Z. I thought about that, and then I started doing what you told me, and here's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
That is fantastic advice, because it's going to encourage that person to perhaps share other things with you, to be more proactive. And like I said, it feels good to feel good when somebody recognizes you for doing something. And that's a tremendous way to build relationships and to add value in the workplace.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think of it even on a much simpler scale. If someone recommends a restaurant and you go to the restaurant and you enjoy a meal there, go back and tell them, hey, thanks for the rec on the restaurant. I enjoyed this dish. It's great.
Spot on. Sony, thank you so much for joining me today. I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Likewise. Thanks so much, Scott.
Take care.
You too.
A special thanks again to my guest, Sony Das. Sony's point about ensuring your key message is above the fold is so important. Often people bury their message in emails, slide decks, and even one-to-one conversations. If you want to move people to action, they need to know your key point. As we wrap up this episode, remember that the journey of improving your communication skills is ongoing. Make sure to stay connected with Communicast by subscribing so you can benefit from conversations with future guests. If you found value in today's episode, I'd be grateful for your support. Leaving a rating or review is a fantastic way to let us know the impact this show has had on you.